You're listening to Wyatt on the Wing with thanks to Van Diemen Brewing, your local beer this footy season.
Do the intro at the end. No.
Let's go. We're winging it, baby.
Come on, what do we got?
I'm a little bit worried about this week's episode, but here we go. This week we're going to discuss your family trip to Hobart.
Yeah, it was a big jaunt.
How exciting.
It is. We're going to look at a few results from the weekend, mate, with three clubs getting knocked out of the endo running.
We're going to go offshore and we're going to have a chat to the Mayor of Dunedin, New Zealand, that is, Mayor Radich, about their fully covered multi-purpose Forsyth Bar Stadium and the eerily similar similarities to Macquarie Point.
Wow, mate. Apparently, you've got a bit of a phenomenal hypothetical for the first ever event.
Very thought-provoking one, yes.
Rightio.
And I've got some ripping feedback in the listener mailbox this week.
Well, so let's get into it, eh?
Yeah, let's.
Now, could this be the least prepared episode we've ever done?
Normally it works where one of us has done something.
Neither of us have done anything.
Why? Is it because there's a bye round?
Maybe, but
in local football?
We have actually done some prep. We've already done an interview this week with the mayor, which we will get to.
Yeah.
Well done on you. Bit off the cuff. Thought, you know what? I'm going to think outside the square. How can we get some thought-provoking engagement from someone that isn't, you know, yes, 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 or no, no, no. So you sent an email to the Mayor of Dunedin who have the Dunedin have the Forsyth Bar Stadium. Sounds like I've been in a bar. It was a great chat. So we'll get to that later on.
Until you said
I tried some Maori and just was way
did you
off.
Google?
I Google translated
as a goodbye.
No, it's more of a, you know,
thanks for your custom.
You. Yeah, yeah.
And the mayor had no idea. Like, he gave better duck eggs to you than what I do.
I had a mayor. That's what
it
I
was
did.
It was very entertaining, and I just let you hang.
It did too.
It is quite entertaining at the end.
So did he. anyway.
Yes. How was your weekend? You were absent for duties both from a senior club and a junior club volunteering role this week.
I was.
And it's one of the better weekends I think I've enjoyed
for
football.
For everyone. Thank goodness I did on Sunday because by all accounts it was chilly.
Fresh.
Yes, I saw that. Now, mate, just quickly before I get to the weekend, I actually owe you an apology on two fronts because I'm going to talk about a topic that you don't like to talk about, fantasy footy. I've actually got a draft in 15 minutes I'm going to have to multitask and participate in. So,
right, then.
Yeah, so
I've
you
got
might
some fantasy footy notes this week too.
Excellent. Well, you might be able to help me out. So, mate, the weekend was good. Went down to Hobart. It was my old man's 75th. So, went down with the family. And
happy birthday, Tim.
Celebrated down
no
there.
Doubt ask to wish yourself happy birthday,
yeah,
retrospectively.
That's right. Yep.
So happy birthday,
so
mate.
He's on now. So yeah, 75th for the old man. So went out for dinner with the family and then Sunday.
Did you go to any football on Saturday?
I did go to the footy. I went and watched Universe Dosa at University Oval. And
did you not get to, were you at Brighton on Friday night? Pontville?
No.
Ah.
No, what was going on there?
Didn't you send me a photo of
No,
juniors?
That was at Lindisfarne. Yeah, Lindisfarne were playing Brighton. So we
Juniors?
Yeah, juniors on Friday
Canteen
night.
Canteen report?
Didn't try the Canteen report on Friday because we had some dinner on the way through.
Where'd you go?
Campbelltown.
With Zeps?
We went to, what did we do? Subway.
Zeps open yet?
Subway?
No.
We went
Babbers to Kebabs.
We went to the kebab joint because Jack had heard of a I don't know what it's called, a full house or something. Basically it's chips with shredded meat, onion, grilled cheese, all in one serving.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, the meat pack or something it was called, I don't know, but it was
Hello, canteen operators out there.
It was pretty good.
So now that's value adding.
Yeah, that filled us up.
What did they charge?
I think it was like $14.
Oh,
so
there's some up there, cream on the top of that.
Mm, and it was good.
Metaphorically and
yeah, there's a little bit of garlic. A little bit of garlic sauce on top.
Wow.
Yeah, so not too bad.
You know how I said 4 minutes ago that I wasn't hungry?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we've got these little lamingtons.
Little delights there. Good one.
That was Friday. Saturday, went and saw Uni and Dosa. Caught up with, saw the Brain quickly. Saw Troy. He was down there, the press, the or former press.
Ex-president.
Now just running the club out of the, you know, off the side. So that was good. And then I had a sav at Uni.
Looked all right. Mustard and sauce on it?
It was slightly. I think it was a little bit undercooked.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's still not a Turner's Beach quality sav. And I've got some more comments about savs in communication later on as well. So, did that. And then Sunday, went out and watched the mighty Sandy Bay Seagulls.
Juniors.
Under.
Saw your nines.
Under eights. Under nines. Play against North Hobart. Do you know who was. Whose young fella was playing
for North Hobart?
For North Hobart,
I could obviously guess
who.
I don't know. Well, obviously I know them.
Ah, right.
No, I'm asking the question. Yeah. Obviously,
yes, you do.
Because there's a lot of people that it could potentially.
Yeah,
be.
No, you know them. Oh. Played with us at uni. Junior Thirk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Little Charlie.
What does Thirk stand for? Do you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What is it?
Do you not know?
Yeah. No, tall.
Is this the draft? Ah, oh, peddling.
Tall. That's a fine, that is. Tall,
hairy, useless. Something. Yeah. So anyway, Thirk Jr. was out there running around.
Make your own assessment on what the R and the C might stand for.
Little Charlie was going all right. And yeah, it was a good day. Cold off the mountain at Lena Valley.
It doesn't get cold in Hobart, apparently.
There was no frost, though. But anyway, it was tough. I love what your kid said about... playing on the frost.
The Noosa kid. No, so we were sitting at the breakfast table and the frost was not heavy, but it was noticeable outside. And I said to the kids, I said, what do you reckon the temperature is outside? It was minus 0.1, so it was just under zero.
Yep.
I said, let's have a look at what the Oz kickers or the junior footballers up in Noosa and stuff would be running out onto. Looked at it, 18.5. So by my math, that's 185 times warmer in Noosa than what it was Launceston early Sunday morning. And yeah. I suggested, boys, you don't have to whinge about being cold or running out in this. Look how much tougher you are running out in that. Now, is that something that we have to factor in when we draft
kids
into the new AFL team?
Maybe.
Tolerance to frost?
I reckon. No, by 2 o'clock there's no frost. You have the juniors kicking that off. And in the new stadium with the glass roof, won't have to worry about a frost. So anyway, how was your weekend, mate? What did you
get up to?
My weekend
was really good, actually. I saw the Battle of the Heavyweights on Saturday morning. I found myself out at the uni ground in Invermay, Mowbray.
Yeah.
With the battle weights of the... The battle of the heavyweights between the Bridport reserves.
Ah, yes.
And the uni reserves.
Right.
Both of them were yet to win a game.
Ooh.
Both of them were sitting on -1 point. And I couldn't work that out. And thankfully you clarified for me that they'd obviously had a player suspended.
Pretty certain if you get a player suspended, you drop a point. So
anyway,
so who's on plus three? Who's on 3 points? There?
3 points. Bridport got the chocolates.
Did they? They beat the Lions.
But it was mildly comical. I had the three boys with me and they couldn't quite work out who these guys were. And not to drag down the skill set of the players that run out every weekend and stuff, but I just had to explain the concept of reserves.
Resies. Just get them on Ultimate Resies. You're on social media enough. They should know all about.
The kids aren't. So.
Yeah, we'll just let them have a play around on Ultimate Resies.
I managed to see that. And then I went down and I worked the bar at NTCA ground.
Have you got your liquor license? You got your RSA?
No, I got a liquor license. You got an RSA? I don't have an RSA. Manufacturer's license.
Imagine that.
I think they go hand in hand, actually.
That'd be funny.
It's a bit sad when I got to go through my photos to remind me of what.
Well, you've got no
happened.
Notes. I love it.
And I didn't say much of the game because Meander dragged in far more of a crowd than I was expecting, and I was actually I was busy at the bar.
They loved it.
Saw a wonderful drink of choice. Wonderful stalwart of the Old Scotch Football Club, Jonty Swallow, playing his 150th.
Now, a story about Jonty. Not sure if you were playing or not. Probably were. I was on the bench. You were probably on the field.
That's where you get spend a lot of your time, isn't it? Especially on highlighted teams as well, like rep teams. And
that's where I live, on the bench.
Yeah. The teams of the decade.
I said that too.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Well, you got to have someone chirping.
Anyway, sorry.
Anyway. Jonty, when he first joined, I remember he played his first senior game and he came off. He went on and he came off for a blow 5 minutes and he was cooked. And he just said, he's like, he's just this short, unfit, slightly... what's the right
story going anywhere?
No. He's come a long way. Oh, okay. He's a phenomenal footballer. So well done, John.
I jumped a little bit. I did have a Savaloy at soccer. Was actually really quite good. Yep. The only problem was, see that photo? What's wrong with it?
Someone's taken a bite out of it.
Yeah, and
half the crust is missing on one loaf
of
bread.
And there's no sauce.
Yeah. So why? Can you why slice it?
Can you have a Savaloy with no sauce?
Well, you could, but it's wrong.
That's where I get it.
Yeah.
Max went and got me a Savaloy with no sauce. I said, what family do you belong to?
Max.
That is not on.
Max.
But the Savaloy was
Max
probably...
Is Max going in the pit?
we'll give him a second chance. I don't think he has a concept of what
we'll
the pit
is. We'll give him a second
is.
Chance.
It was quite good. And then Sunday, rolled into juniors. Very icy. Did the ground check.
Yep.
Nice and fresh.
Yeah, that was good. Very, very fresh.
And then, what did I do? I can't even remember. I didn't even get to watch the rest of the football for the day. It was a good weekend, though.
Oh, well, excellent. I must say I was down in Hobart for quite a funny little thing. I was listening to Triple M because we don't get it up here. So
Tubes is network.
I was listening to Triple M, something different. Anyway, was not 10 seconds into listening when old Tubes made a massive gaffe. He had a phone call contestant. Anyway, called the girl Emily. He said, "Rightio, Emily, you got to call your buzzer." And she's like, "My name's Emma." Tubes was like, "Oh, I can't even read mine right." I can imagine him when he's single days, he would have been out in the town calling girls the wrong names. And poor old Tubes. Anyway, gaff on here, but he did a good job. It was it was interesting. Just quickly, Dark Mofo starts coming
this
up
weekend, isn't it?
They reckon 80,000 tourists. Where are they going to sleep? Do we have hotel?
We should do.
We will.
Oh, well.
Hey, have you subscribed to Way Out the Wing podcast yet?
Yeah, of course I have. I've subscribed to all of them, even the ones we haven't made yet.
What do you mean, the ones we haven't been made yet?
Well, you know, the ones from, like, the future. I'm just staying ahead of the game, mate.
And how much work did you actually do on the podcast?
Oh, well, I do all the important stuff, like coming up with ideas for TikTok dances.
TikTok dances?
Yeah.
That's not even related to the podcast.
Well, hey, it's all about social media presence, Worm. Get with the times, mate.
Right, well, if you want some actual content, check out Way Out the Wing on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Way Out Wing, and make sure you subscribe to the podcast for some real footy talk.
And maybe just a few more TikTok dances. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Now, they had a massive day down at... Lauderdale.
Yeah, they did.
On the weekend.
What a result.
Well, the game was quality in itself. But the day that they had down there to commemorate one of their long-serving stalwarts, the community obviously turned out. And then Lauderdale were down by 29 points at three-quarter time, I think.
Something like that. Kicked five, six goals.
Six goals.
Yeah, no,
Ended up winning the game. But what I saw out of that, did you see Sam Siggins We're about to go into fantasy football.
Okay. No, I didn't.
Sam Siggins, 41 disposals, 32 of them contested.
It doesn't matter, but anyway.
16 clearances.
How many kicks?
It doesn't say. Handball. 12 inside 50s, 2 goals, 41 hitouts. How many ranking points is that?
Oh, that's a lot. We'll get onto that.
How many ranking points?
Not off the top of my head, mate.
278.
Oh, you've done it.
No, well, it's TSL, dude.
Oh, right. Okay.
A new TSL record. There 200. Imagine, what would you have if he was
captain.
Your captain?
Oh, there you go. A lot. 556.
So Sam Siggins lifted Lauderdale from the canvas and a very, very fitting result, especially during the week after Alan Christensen had said that life was bigger than football and that we're winning just by rolling out and playing the game and stuff. Yeah. I thought it was very, very,
very
fitting.
Very sad news about Dion Mead, and I saw out at the Masters, I got a text message from number one listener in Southern Hobart, Fluff. He said it was a great day down at the Masters down there. All sides were wearing black armbands for Dion. So standing side by side in a circle before the game and a minute of silence
now,
for a bit of respect. So.
Just to move on to the endos of our undefeated teams.
Yes.
Now,
where does a draw sit
on that? Interesting result in the NTFA Premier Division with Longford and Hillwood, the previously undefeated Hillwood, or still undefeated.
Well, they're not endo, they're and one. And O, so I'm.
Well, they're still they're not, nah. And O.
Nah, they're not.
And then there's the one, and O one.
Oh, so he's starting to different.
I don't know.
Nah, they're out.
Well, 36 all apiece, 5-6, 36 apiece.
Low scoring,
very low scoring. Had a chat to a Hillwood player this afternoon that suggested, and I said, "What were the conditions that bad, or was it a dire contest?" He goes, "No, the defensive pressure from both teams
just
smothered the offensive side of it." And
yep.
I think Hillwood led for most of the day, and they felt as though... Longford led for most of the day, and Hillwood felt as though they probably should have got over it. And I would imagine that Longford felt the other way. Apparently, kicking for goal wasn't too great.
Yeah, well, anyway, they're knocked out. I'm taking him out of the endo. You've got to be undefeated.
That's harsh.
No,
that's
undefeated,
that's
unlost.
Not undefeated. Yeah, well, sorry,
technically it's not.
Undefeated. So we didn't lay out the lay of the land beforehand.
Well, it's your competition.
And I'm suggesting that they haven't been defeated. So they maintain their endo record.
But they're
it's endo bracket one on the end.
Yeah, it's a bit tokenistic to me.
If you haven't listened to what we're on about, you best go back a couple of episodes about where, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had an undefeated side across every league.
Every senior.
And since then, we've knocked out three last week.
Three this week.
So who else got knocked out this week?
North Hobart in the SFL Women's lost. They lost to Clarence by 13 points, so they are Gonski. And in the circular head, Forrest Stanley.
Got done by Scotchtown.
They did, 9 points. So they're out as well. And then I'm saying Hillwood are gone.
I'm not.
Okay.
Just let me take off my linen jacket and warm me up.
Now, speaking of Hillwood, I saw a bumper sticker.
Ah, did you get that sent onto you?
Yeah, let Jeff hashtag let Jeff play.
None's made our way.
I mean, not Hillwood, sorry, Hilltown.
Hilltown.
Yeah. We haven't seen them.
Dropped it in. You're a moron.
I'm pretty sure everyone knows what we're talking about by now. So,
you haven't seen it, have you? Have you seen the photo?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let Jeff play.
Yep.
It was I would have come up with a better sticker than that.
Token.
But no, it'd be nice to get that getting round. And if you see a no stadium sticker, go and whack a let Jeff play.
Over the top
of it.
I'm just going to quickly dial into this meeting I've got here.
Can I be heard?
G'day, gents. I'm just recording here with Wildus, the podcast. So if you blokes don't mind just keeping it down, I'm going to mute myself and just give us a wave. Are we writing the list down? We've actually got a ban on fantasy footy on this podcast, but Wildus is allowing me just at some time. He's not quite sure whether this is real or not. You can't believe we still play fantasy footy at our age.
Oh,
but anyway,
this is just great. Makes great podcast material, this does.
Anyway, are you going to write down who we trade as well, or are these players going so I can keep an eye on it, Glenn?
Well, I was hoping everyone would be putting them in WhatsApp like we normally do.
Perfect. That works for me. Thank you.
See ya.
You'll be right, Glove.
Right, let's go, Worm.
Right. Sorry about that.
Oh, this is just...
Hold on. Can I mute him? I'm going to hang up. I'm going to hang up. I'll see the messages in WhatsApp.
Well, we'll edit that bit out.
Nah, it's all right. Rightio, where were we? We were talking about the weekend.
What flagged on your radar?
So we saw the Andos. There wasn't too much else. I saw there's the 1990 Taz State of Origin reunion that's happening on the 6th of October. So that'll be at Glenorchy Footy Club Room. So get around to that. And also this weekend, long weekend, we've got the Women's All-Star Series kicking off again, of which the NWFL dominated last year. So they'll
be undefeated.
So it'll be interesting to see how they go this year, because they are kicking off on June the 10th against the SFL.
Which is this Saturday. 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th,
Friday. Saturday. And then the NTFA are playing the SFL on the 12th, and then both teams come back on the 17th. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Now, one thing I did see, and I don't know if I'm happy to admit, but I am a member of the No AFL Stadium for Tasmania Facebook group. Oh, just so I can monitor it and see if there are any, the garbage that they spout. And
I'm disgusted.
Just to make sure that
they're not. Disgusted to hear that.
Do you know that ground? So if I showed you that, do you know that ground? The tagline says, "This is just around the corner from me. The posts are up, there's a scoreboard and a small pavilion. I've never seen it used. I reckon the council would probably sell it for $50,000. Maybe that's the answer. Plenty of parking." That's referring to the Fingal Valley Football Oval.
What an idiot. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. So are you serious?
No longer used, yeah. You kicked it behind there from about 95 metres, didn't you, with a howling gale behind
it was
you.
Blowing. The old Fingal rooms. Look at that. Yeah, there's some good memories of that.
Very good
that
canteen ground. There.
And you could swing by a Voca on the way through, see how many cans you can drink until you get back to the highway. Yeah. What a joke. Is that the sort of stuff there?
50,000, yeah. Plenty of parking.
Oh, yeah.
Up the valley. Reinvigorate the valley.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, right smack bang in the middle. You can go to the East Coast. You go to Hobart, back up north. I mean, it's perfect. I can't believe we didn't think of it earlier. What's stopping us? What's stopping us?
Bozzy, you'd be up for it?
Oh, he'd play. He'd play.
Ferret.
Yeah. Speaking of the yeses and the noes, they want to get a bit of support for the 1st of
thousands
July.
Thousands are going to get
thousands. 1st of July game at North Hobart Oval.
For the Defend the Map. It's in big letters there. Read it out to the people.
Defend the Map. Let's get thousands of our members along to show support of the Tassie men and women. And the Yes AFL, Yes Stadium team. So Saturday, 1st of July at North Hobart, Tassie v Queensland. Get around it. That should be
good. Now, we had a bit of Twitter banter during the week.
We did.
Craig Perkins. I think we need to give him a bit of a shout out. The thread that occurred across their fantasy football, please. One of the big things that Craig came up with, or not came up with, but clarified was, we seem to get confused between capital expenditure and recurrent expenditure. So the $700 million-plus to build the stadium, or whatever figure people choose to use, is capital expenditure. It's not taking $700 million from annual government services budgets. So... the sprouting
That's
off
the
about
that was his Twitter feed, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, the sprouting off of the no, this $700 million, it doesn't. We don't get it for anything else. It comes for the stadium and the stadium build alone. It's not going to be divvied up amongst other government departments. No. It is there wholly and solely to build the stadium.
Yeah, there was also another good letter in the I think it was the Mercury actually, or the Examiner, talking about the dollar value of the AFL team. Did you see that?
No.
So I think I spoke to you about it, or maybe off air. You know, all these billions and millions that we're talking about, people don't understand it. It sounds like a lot of money. I think I said to you, let's break it down into $100 or $1,000. And this is exactly what this person's done. So I wish people understood this. Imagine a $100 note representing the annual government budget. How much of that $100 is planning for the stadium build? $7.25, do you think? Perhaps $4.25, maybe $2.75 or 75 cents. 75 cents is at issue. 75 cents for each of the 5 years of construction. $3.75 out of $500. That's how much we're talking about. So even if you factor in cost overruns and real dollar terms, let's say it's, you know, $650 million out of the total budget spend of $43.5 billion over the whole five-year term. So, you know, that's when you break it down to that and you say, well, out of the $100 note, we're just spending 75 cents on this football stadium. I mean, come on, people. Let's bring it back a little bit. So anyway, I think we've had enough of it.
Well, speaking of the stadium, it would be nice to know if there was somewhere in the world where something like this might have occurred before.
Oh,
like,
but
something similar.
Unlikely, wouldn't it? I mean, what do you need? You need a small population.
Yeah.
So let's say, what, under 200? 250, under 200? You need, what else do we need? It would be good to be on the water.
This is not how we ran the intro.
Oh, is there an actual intro for
that? No, that we were going to do it.
What are we
going to
do?
But there's nowhere that this has happened.
There's nowhere this has happened, Wilders.
No, that's what I'm saying.
What am I meant to say? Yes, there is.
Yeah, where?
Where? Well, Dunedin.
Dunedin. Yeah, but that's a big city. Like, that's got more people than Hobart.
Now I've got you. No, it's not. There's 128,000 people that live in Dunedin.
How many in Hobart? 230, 225-ish?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but like, they don't, they put it somewhere central or anything. They wouldn't put it on water or anything or near the water.
It's on the waterfront.
Get out.
It is.
But that on the South Island of New Zealand, they built a stadium.
Far southeast part of New Zealand, three and a half hour drive from Queenstown.
Hang on.
4 hours and 45 from Christchurch.
But with the weather they get is pretty similar to us. They haven't put a roof or anything on it.
Oh, but they have put a roof on it, Wilders.
So we're saying there is a real-life model where this has worked. Well, we thought we'd get in touch with the mayor of Dunedin.
Unbelievable.
Let's have a chat with him.
Kia ora, Mayor Radich.
Mayor, it's Wilders and Worm here from way out in the wing. We must thank you for your time straight off the bat, mate.
That's right. No problem at all. I'm happy to help.
Good. Now, the main reason that we wanted to get you on is for the striking similarities between the stadium build at Dunedin and the proposed stadium in Hobart, Tasmania, for our new AFL side. Are you aware of that stadium build?
No, I'm not. Only the very little that you have said.
Rightio then. All right.
So we're...
Pretty concerned with affairs in Dunedin as opposed to Tasmania.
Fair enough.
We don't blame you, Mayor. We are at the moment in our national competition, the AFL, trying to get a team which has finally been approved, and one of the conditions on that has been to build a brand new stadium. It's turned into a hot ball at the moment. A lot of people wanting it, and then a lot of loud noise against it, whatever reasons. And the similarities between us and the Foresight Stadium is very, very similar. So I suppose we, you know, with those questions, sort of wanted to ask you things along those lines, if that was okay.
Sure. Fine.
All right then. Well,
I presume it'll be a multi-use stadium, will it?
That is the intention of it. Yes, it's one of the sticking points with the people that are opposed to it, that they perceive that the multi-use may not get up as much as what can be perceived. But
so we would love as much positivity from your end without putting in your mouth, because that's we're very much pro for it. So. yeah, obviously don't, yeah, you know, as you will, but yeah.
So, Mayor, how has the Forsyth Barr Stadium in Dunedin contributed to the local economy, and what specific economic benefits have been observed since its establishment?
Well, it certainly contributes to the local economy. Of course, we've had a hard time over COVID, which has, you know, put a damper on things because we have, as you'd be aware, we're locked down in New Zealand. But a recent study put the economic impact arising from the stadium at more than $300 million over 10 years, which compares reasonably favourably with its build cost of $227 million.
And I've read a little bit about the stadium, the annual report, and an article just recently that, you know, the concerts you've had, Fleetwood Mac, Elton John, Queen, all of them pumped in, you know, visitor numbers and the economic contribution, the financial windfall, it's obviously been massive for Dunedin.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose one of the biggest concert of all was Ed Sheeran, who performed three nights in a row. So each one of his concerts was over 35,000 fans, so it was practically 100,000 people. So that was pretty huge.
Yeah, I read there that over 70,000 of those attended came from outside the city, pumped around $34 million into the economy, so not bad for three nights entertainment.
Right. So 6% of the attendance at the stadium has come from out of town, according to our, you know, stats.
Yeah. Now, Mayor, was there much negativity towards the stadium in the beginning? I know, obviously, the economic side, yes, of it that's come from it, but were people, you know, critical of it when it was being built?
Well, it's not so much when it was being built, but prior to it being built, prior to the vote in council, it was, you know, the city council was split 50-50. The town was split 50-50 as well.
And you had your own Stop the Stadium crowd I saw over there, but a lot of the issues, yeah, there were focused on the cost and the potential limited use of the stadium. Was that right?
Well, that's right. I mean, it's always the return on the investment and the cost of putting it up. Absolutely. It's a very expensive stadium.
Has that crowd been somewhat muted now that after sort of 10 years of operation with the concerts and the multi-use events that are coming through, is that now, have they now been proven wrong?
Well, the crowd is largely muted. I mean, it's certainly not it's not a great return on investment, the stadium. You know, it's not actually making money for the city. You wouldn't call it a financial investment just on pure numerical dollar terms. But it contributes a lot to the city and a lot to the, livability and the enjoyment of being in this city.
So that's
a lot out of it. And most people in the city have been to the stadium now.
Yep, that obviously has that flow-on effect of job creation and employment and the local businesses and industries around Dunedin and the immediate area?
Well, there's no direct correlation, you know, between the stadium influence and the jobs in Dunedin that I could see, not a direct correlation. But, you know, it did stimulate a lot more accommodation in the town because a lot of people come from out of town for stadium events. And, you know, there's a lot of entertainment that probably that's more viable. I suppose hospitality venues that are more viable because of the stadium. So, you know, it's not that far from the centre of town. It's just, you know, it's walking distance. It's about, 2K or something like that. So there's a little, you know, when there's big events at the stadium, it's always a big night in town, both prior and before and after the event.
Yeah, Mayor, the similarities...
So that all adds up to jobs.
The similarities between location and everything, the stadium and Macquarie Point, which we're looking at building in Hobart, is very eerie. I see there's about 130,000 people that live in Dunedin, which is a little bit smaller than Hobart. You know, you're still 3 to 4 hours from the major, you know, Queenstown, Christchurch. Do those people still travel to venues? Do they make weekends of it? How does that work?
Yeah. When there's concerts and big events on, we get a lot of people from the hinterland. So people come from Queenstown and Invercargill in particular, but also Oamaru, which are, you know, reasonably close towns. It's sort of an hour and a half to Oamaru, 3.5 hours to Queenstown. 2.5 hours to Invercargill. So they will all come to visit our stadium for big events, but also for the music concerts in particular. People will come down from Christchurch for special concerts.
And the use of the stadium, is it on an ongoing basis, like every weekend, or is there around sporting events, are the concerts occurring on a weekend basis?
No, not really, because you've got to have a stadium size crowd. You've got to have a stadium size performer to fill the stadium. So, you know, you've got to get 10,000, you know, between 10 and almost 40,000. 10,000 to 35,000 is quite a lot of people. So you've got to have a pretty headline act to fill the stadium up.
Yeah.
So we don't have them every weekend, but we have several each summer. And then, of course, the sports games, they vary a bit in terms of how many people turn up. But we've got a test match. We've got a Bledisloe Cup. So rugby between Australia and New Zealand coming up in July, and the stadium sold out already for that.
There's the Women's FIFA World Cup. I believe there's games played there. Obviously, you mentioned the All Black games. It's not just the national competition. I'm pretty sure I read Otago Rugby Football Union, who compete in your domestic cup. They compete out of there.
Yes, absolutely. Lots of them, and it's multi-use. We've had, you know, the All Blacks, the All Whites. You know, so we've had the soccer team, the rugby team. We've had league teams. We haven't had any AFL games.
There's time for that.
No AFL teams in New Zealand, of course. But, they've had motocross. You know, well, not motocross, but sort of stadium cross. They've had cars. They've had horses. We have a very popular event is a beer festival.
Oh, well, here we go. Now you're talking our language.
Stadium. Yeah. It's very, because it's covered, you know, it's completely dry, so it's a weatherproof event, a weatherproof venue. So beer festival is very big. That sells out way in advance, almost, you know, very soon after tickets go on sale. That sells out.
Mayor Radich, you mentioned it's waterproof. I know you've got a keen interest in underwater hockey. Have you tried to convince the underwater hockey world to make a tournament in there?
Well, you'd have to have a glass pool in order to play underwater hockey. There's an attempt to make professional underwater hockey going on right now in the USA, but I have actually played underwater hockey in Hobart.
Ah, there you go, at the
Aquatic Centre.
I had the world champs. We had the world champs there in about the year 2000. I went over and played.
Yeah, we've done our research. We hear you go all right, so that's good. That's good. What about the concerts? You know, there's some massive names that have played, Elton John, Macklemore, Aerosmith, Rod Stewart, Neil Diamond, Fleetwood Mac. What's been your favourite attended concert at the venue?
Oh, golly. There's been some great, great concerts there. I've really enjoyed them. Fleetwood Mac was a big one. I went to Red Hot Chili Peppers. I went to Black Sabbath. It was a big surprise. I wasn't expecting much, but they were fantastic, actually. And Roger Waters, doing the Pink Floyd thing, that was pretty awesome.
The acoustics with the closed roof, does it make it louder?
No, I don't think so. No, I wouldn't. If anything, the roof might hold in a bit of noise from the surrounding, from the surrounds of the stadium. There have been, people are used to it and, you know, not many noise complaints from the stadium, I'd have to say. You know, the walls, you know, the stands keep a lot of the noise in, but the most recent concert that I went to, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, they were very loud, and there was a lot, you know. But I don't know I haven't asked how many complaints were received, but it was phenomenally loud. It was the loudest concert I've ever been to.
That was very loud ones. Post Malone, you like a bit of Post Malone, Mayor?
Yep, well, Post Malone, he played ahead of him. He was great. Actually, he was very popular. A whole lot of people up and left after he played. They didn't want to see the people.
They missed out.
Yeah. Now, Mayor,
amazing.
From the build, do you think there's any specific lessons or best practices learnt from the build? I know you weren't mayor at the time, but that could be applied, you know, here for Hobart to the planning and development of the new stadium, things that we should consider?
Well, there's not really. I mean, it's the community and the geography and all that kind of stuff is different. But I'd say, given that the Hobart climate's probably similar to ours, it's quite helpful having a roof on it.
100%.
And, you know, that gives you your beer festivals and all of those general purpose events, you know, possibility, gives you a lot more possibilities to having it. And plus, you know, concerts don't get cancelled because of the weather.
Yeah,
and just so everyone knows they're going to have a good time. So I'd say that would be one. And the other one that we seem to have a pretty good fixed price contract in place for the building of the stadium, because it came in pretty much on budget, and it was the budget was pretty tight.
Do you think in the current economic climate, if the stadium wasn't built 10 years ago or 12 years ago, do you think you'd go ahead and build something like that in the current climate?
Well, I think it would largely depend on the government, how much the government were prepared to help. So back in the day, the council did it pretty much on its own bat,
yeah,
and the government only, you know, contributed a tiny amount.
15 million.
Like 15 million out of 227. So the council, local council, city council contributed the lion's share by a long way.
So, Mayor,
Whereas in Christchurch, they're building a stadium now, and the government's given them a whole heap more.
So, Mayor,
200 million for them.
Mayor, if the federal government was willing to give you $250 million to help with the build, you probably wouldn't say no, would you?
I think that would be, you know, help make councillors' minds up, I'd venture to suggest.
Yeah. Yep. So the funding for this is a lot of state money, but also federal, as well as the actual league, the AFL's tipping in. So as they say over here, you don't kick a gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah.
Just
Well, that's quite a, you know, it's quite a good contribution, especially by the standards of what we got.
As far
I'm immediately
as...
envious now. Well done.
As far as the site goes for the stadium, were there a variety of options given? Or I know that it's planted pretty much on the waterfront, is it not? Was that the prime real estate or the number one spot to go for?
There was a lot of factors in the selection of the spot. The one, you know, a few businesses had to be, you know, bought out and moved. So it was reasonably expensive real estate for industrial real estate. But the critical factor in that is close to the university area, so that students can actually walk to the stadium. So that does help with filling the stadium. It's easy for them to go and see whatever, sporting events, concerts and so forth. So that gives an easy walk-up audience, you know, literally and figuratively, as well as, you know, people from all across town can get to it.
Mayor, in terms of that, you talked locally, but also in terms of regional tourism and attracting visitors, what role has Forsyth Barr Stadium played, and how might a new stadium here in Hobart capitalise on those similar opportunities?
Well, I mean, it's going to be pretty straightforward for attracting people across Tasmania. The trick would be, you know, getting people from Melbourne. So, you know, if you can put on events that can attract people from Melbourne, you've got a reasonable ferry service from there. But it's quite a fair way. I don't know, how long does it take to get on the ferry from Melbourne to there?
Overnight.
Yeah, overnight. It's an overnight trip, but it's an hour by plane. So it's definitely...
Definitely doable. So that can make a significant difference to the tourism industry. And because they're coming an hour by plane... what typically happens, people come down from Christchurch for a concert, and a lot of them do fly in. Well, you know, they don't stay for one night. They stay for two or three.
It's amazing.
I know a lot of retailers, you know, very much look forward to the big events because they get people from out of town and they, you know, they do well on those weekends.
Now, Mayor, thank you very much for your time. Before you do, I've probably got the hardest question to ask you in regards to this. And that is, in the kiosk in the stadium, the varieties of fish and chips. Are there a lot?
Varieties? No, there's only one. So the food contract for the stadium is held, you know, within the stadium. And there is a reasonable selection of food, so the food's okay.
Fish and chips?
You know, the beer's okay. Yeah, other than there is fish and chips, yes.
Good.
Excellent.
There's only one style. There's no choices. Fish and chips.
Mayor, we've got to thank you very much for joining us on Way Out in the Wing.
Have I pronounced this right? Do I say this right? Manikitung? Is that right?
Sorry? Again?
That was right?
Hello?
Yes, you there?
No, can you repeat?
Did I pronounce this right? Manikitung?
Manikitung? Manikitung, what's that?
I think Worm's trying to give you a bit of Maori goodbye back to you, but I don't think it's coming across all that well.
It was a bit of a thanks. Maybe my pronunciation's completely off the mark. Yeah. I apologise.
Anyway.
Mayor, we thank you for your time on Way Out in the Wing. We really appreciate discussing the stadium, and thank you for your important time, and wish you all the best for when AFL finally comes to Dunedin under the roof.
Yeah, oh well, that might be a wee while. The thing is, well, probably the AFL ball might be able to kick an iron up to hit the roof. Well, no one's managed it with the rugby ball yet.
You'll, well, if we ever get a Bledisloe Cup game in Hobart, you'll have to come over. And
the beers are on us.
Yeah, we'll make sure Will Wildes and I put you up. We'll get some beers and we'll have a good night.
Yes, oh well, if you get a new stadium, then you'll be able to host one, won't you? That'd
absolutely
be great.
Absolutely. Hey there, thanks for being with us for the new season. We appreciate how busy you all are with work, family and footy, and hope that Way Out in the Wing brings a little bit of ear candy your way across your working week. Look, we are here to connect, debate, critique and celebrate everything that revolves around local footy in Tassie in a meaningful but often light-hearted manner. Without the dry presentation and cookie-cutter one-liners that you come to expect and see in everyday mainstream sport. But if you've got something that you think we should be discussing, pulling apart or championing, we can do that pretty well, please let us know through our social channels at WayOutWing or head to the website www.wayoutwing.com and drop us a line in the listener's mailbox and we'll get straight back to you. Hey, just remember, Way Out in the Wing, fun and free in season 2023.
Well, Worm, there we go.
Nice little chat with the mayor there. Sorry about the line. It's so obviously international. I don't know whether he's still they're still running on copper line.
2G, I think. And sorry about my Maori explanation.
Apologies to all the New Zealand listeners.
Yeah,
there are a few actually.
Hey, what I love about that is, do you ever think any of those artists, Elton John, Macklemore, Aerosmith, Fleetwood Mac, Neil Diamond, Rod Stewart, like Robbie Williams, Ed Sheeran, Kendrick Lamar, Shania Twain, Pink, Chili Peppers, right, Post Malone. Yeah. You know, do you think any of those guys would have ever gone to Dunedin had they not built this stadium?
No.
No. I mean, that is amazing. The similarities are, mind-boggling. So
now,
there we go.
Hard hits for the week. Okay.
Yep.
Here's when we build the stadium. And before we get an AFL game in there, which, speaking of, did you see any of the mock-ups, just as a little aside, for the Dark Mofo weekend of the stadium?
No.
The mock-up. No. So at Tasmania versus Essendon, the whole stadium was red.
Oh, that would look wicked.
Yes. Anyway, sorry, I digress.
Yeah.
Before that occurs, I've got an event for you.
Imagine that. The Bombers and
to start the Wing Arena, this is what's going to happen, okay?
Right.
Important thought experiment. You're in the Wing Arena, okay? In that arena,
before you start this, the mock-up drawings were well received.
Yes. Yeah. Right, in the arena, you are in the arena with 50 hawks, 10 crocodiles, 3 brown bears, 15 wolves, 1 hunter with a rifle, 7 buffalo. I'm going to let you look at this in a second. 10,000 rats, 5 gorillas, and 4 lions.
Right.
You need to pick 2 to defend you, the others attack you. Your goal is to last 1 hour.
Right.
What are you running with?
Okay, so what would... How many bullets are in the rifle?
That's a good suggestion. No, I think it's a single barrel rifle. Yes, it is unlimited.
So hold on, can I? When you say you got to pick 2,
it says as pick it, 2 to defend
right,
you.
Right. So I'm picking not 2 rats, but I'm picking 10,000 rats.
Yep.
Yeah. The others attack.
Where are you leaning towards? Are you thinking big animals?
Well, I'm thinking. I don't think the birds are. The hawks, I don't think they're going to kill me.
Okay. So the goal is they're not trying to kill you. You've got to last an hour. Okay, remember, you've got to last an hour.
Well, the brown bears, pretty bloody scary. I mean, the hunter with the rifle could kill me in one. So you've almost got to take him.
Do you?
Well, how's...
We've got to remember the animals are there to defend you.
Well, is there a right answer?
No, there's not. Okay. No.
Well, I'm going to go...
It's a thought experiment.
All right. Well, I'm going to take I'm going to take the... I love the Brown Bears or the Wolves. But I think I'm going to take the Four Lions and the Hunter with the rifle.
Okay, then. Yep. That's interesting.
Yeah. What would you take?
I would take the 10,000 rats.
10,000.
I reckon 10,000 is a big number.
It is. Yeah.
Defending off 10,000 rats...
Well, it's half the stadium.
...is pretty difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm tempted to take the 3 Brown Bears. Because I reckon between 3 big bears and 10,000 rats... Your biggest danger there to last an hour, I think, is the Hunter with the rifle.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And like, I think three bears.
Can you say rats? Yeah, go to the man on the rifle. So. Oh, well, that's probably different then.
And you can probably send like 5,000 rats head to the Hunter.
Yeah, the other one chew up the And the birds are probably going to be preoccupied with a couple of the rats. So there's them.
So
done.
So the goal to survive an hour. So the 3 brown bears and 10,000 rats. Send the rats to the Hunter. And the wolves first. I reckon the wolves are potentially the dangerous ones. Hawks would be an issue, but nothing life-threatening, as you suggested.
Yep.
The crocodiles are going to get clapped one-on-one on land. So they got no hope on land, no. I don't think so. Well, the crocodiles.
I don't know about that.
So the hunter's gone, and then you just kill time.
Kill time.
For an hour. Oh, do you reckon that'll get up as the first event at Wing Stadium?
Probably not. Yeah, probably not. But anyway,
yeah, well,
who knows?
Last drink! Thanks to Van Diemen Brewing. Yeah!
I don't think we've ever got to this point of the show this quickly.
So quickly?
Oh. Sorry for the interruption due to fantasy football.
Pack it up, pack it in.
Local football-wise, this came across our desk late last week. Kind of fair to say, I reckon it's gone around most local footy fans. On Saturday, there was a dude playing for Donnybrook Reserves who got his undies ripped in the first quarter.
I saw.
So had to take them off at quarter time and decided to free ball for the rest of the game. Or it says apparently he had some low-hanging nuts. I don't think apparently. And even the umpire noticed at halftime and told him to go and get on some undies. He didn't and kept playing the game. We'd heard the rumours about it after the game, but didn't really give it much thought. And then some photos came. And I'm not sure whether... I don't think we'll post them, but some of the funnier local footy awesome. Photos that just you'll see running around.
Just the tackle hanging out.
Play in some decent underwear, please, people. It makes a big difference. Rep footy this weekend. The women at North Hobart on Saturday. There are juniors at UTAS on Sunday.
Yes.
There's might have TSL. To, TSL
you're
on
coaching?
Friday night.
You coach? No, you're coaching.
Thorpe hasn't been sacked yet.
Are you coaching the juniors?
No, I'm helping. I got Ned running for us.
Might be some special comments coming your way.
Well, I think I'm going to get mic'd up on the bench, aren't I?
I don't know. Anyway.
Might be worthwhile.
Hey, we didn't go through communications.
Too bad. We'll see you next week for Way Out in the Wing, where we'll have a prepared agenda. Let us know through the listener mailbox.
Maybe they like the short sharpness of today's episode.
Let us know.
Let's get to the fantasy draft. Did you like
the short rather than long? We not waffle too much, though.
Boring. Love the waffle.
If you enjoyed this chat on Way Out in the Wing, make sure you like and subscribe to the Way Out in the Wing podcast channel so you never miss another entertaining episode, neglect an exclusive interview, or forget what games you should be seeing this footy season. Listen, like, and subscribe to the channel now.